it's all around us.
Yep.
Oh, I can't believe in the end.
Oh,
Thank the Lord for those songs that we heard sung, the testimonies, most of all. One thing that's such a blessing when you hear somebody been to numerous different places and some things just don't line up. They don't feel just right. Have you ever been to a place like that? But I'll tell you, the testimonies we heard today, those people were sure of what they had. There was no question in what we heard from Sister Cindy. She could tell you that it happened right there. And I thank the Lord for those things. So if you would, turn with me to 2 Kings chapter number 5. Very familiar scripture today. But if you would, just turn over there with me as we look as we look into this, and I want to read a little bit than maybe I normally would, but if you would, I don't know if you want to stand, you're more than welcome. But 2 Kings chapter number 5, we're going to start off in verse number 1. It says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' And it came to pass, when the king of Israel read this letter, he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.' And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to him, or that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.'" We'll stop our reading there this morning. We're going to get on down a little bit further, but I feel like that I want to get into this this afternoon. And I thought on these things, and as I was thinking on these things, and we know as you get on down in there that he tells him that he needs to go down to the Jordan and dip 7 times, and that'll be clean. I thought about cleaning and all these things, and we know there's them little books, I don't even know the name of them, that most people keep on the back of their toilet. I think that's what it's called, a toilet book. But I was looking at some different things and looking back through some old laws. I was looking some things up, and I found that in 1842 in Boston, that it was illegal to bathe except for by prescription or by doctor's orders. Same thing, I think it was in 1843 in Philadelphia. You weren't allowed to bathe from November unto March the 1st, sometime in the middle of November. And I thought, what a shame it is today. And we see it all over, that the it seems like spiritual people, seems like our Christian world has adopted a similar schedule. When it comes to spiritual cleansing, there's some things that we need to see from the life of this man, and some things that we need to see here. But we can see those things as we look at it. But here, as we're looking, this was a general, a captain. It says there in the first verse, captain of the host. He was a captain of Syria. He was a mighty man. If we look at all these things, he held a great position. It says that he was a great man with his master. He was loved by his master. He was honorable with his master, and he had all these different things, had great victories that had happened at his hand. But why? It says, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Because of those things, we see that, and you think on this, and I thought, man, why is it in 2016 that he's going to stand up there and preach to us about something that happened so many years ago, a man that had leprosy, something that happened. And I want you to do this for me. If you still got your Bibles open, I want you to look at this. When we look in verse number 1, it says, "Now Naaman," I want you to take and put your name right in there. Just substitute your name right there for just a minute. And as we get on down to the latter part of that verse, it says he was a leper. I want you to change that word leper to sinner. And then as we get on down, if you was to look over, and we didn't even make it there reading, but in verse number 10, where it says to go and wash in Jordan and these things, put the blood of the lamb. As we look on these things, and I think, boy, this really comes relevant to our lives today. And I feel that there's somebody here this morning that needs to come to know the Lord. I feel feel that there's somebody here that needs to feel these things. So as we look at this and we look at these things, I want to notice this man's condition. I want to see the condition of this man. And let me say, he was a very noteworthy individual. He was worthy of writing. We see all these wonderful things in the beginning of the verses, position and all these things. Captain of the host, valiant. He was a man that wielded power, no doubt. We can think of anybody that we would meet like that. They would have some power about them. They would have a certain stature, a certain stance that they would take as we think on these different things. And we can see all these things. But he was the commanding general of one of the most powerful armies of that time, as we would think about these things. So he was a man of prestigious rank and all these things. But second, he had all of these victories. All these victories had come by his hand because of what the Lord had said. And we see these things here. But as a matter of fact, looking on these things, he was a man that anyone sitting in the room, if we were to look at these things, if we were to look from our physical eyes, sometimes we do that. It looks really good, right? There are some things that look good to us. But he was a man that if we were to take a physical approach to things, anybody sitting in the building would have been interested, would have had a desire to be named. And boy, he had power. He had all these different things. But I want us to see what a little bitty word can make such a difference as we look into the latter part of the verse. But he was a leper. Boy, that changes everything. Just a little word, just such a little word of what makes such the big difference. It makes such a difference as we see these things. You know, it would be wonderful to be a valiant captain. It would be wonderful to be the king's right-hand man. It would be wonderful to have your name known abroad. But if he was a leper, none of these other things matter. Amen. The third thing that I want us to see, he had a painful problem. This was a painful problem as we look here and we see these things. This was a disease. And as I studied this out and I studied on leprosy and looked some of these different things up, you know what it said? It said that sometimes, in a lot of cases, it takes between 5 and 20 years for it to even surface, for it to even come to the skin where we can see some things. So with that said right there, we could easily conclude that it's because of a deeper problem. Yes, is that not is that not right? But it would take those things before that it would be there as we look at it. And we'll find that Naaman's problem of leprosy was most definitely a sign of a deeper problem on the inside. And we're going to see that here in a minute. But as we study the Bible and we find that leprosy was a picture of sin. If you look over in Leviticus chapter number 13, it's called a plague of leprosy. Is that not right? That's what the Bible says as we look at these things. And you'll find that a person contracted leprosy in Israel. They didn't go to the doctor. They didn't go to the clinic. They didn't do these different things. They went to see the priest. As we can think about these things, that's where they went. And one other thing that I want us to see here and look at as we go to the doctor and we get medicine and we look for these different things to be cured or healed or whatever the case may be today, it doesn't talk about those things, but it talks about an individual being cleansed of their leprosy. And I think that's a big point. I'm glad that one day I was cleansed of my sins. One day I came to know the Lord, and he not only cured me, because we've heard of people cured of cancer and then it comes back again, but boy, I've been cleansed of my sins away. And I thank God for that today. So hey, leprosy's more than just a little spot on the surface of the skin. Leprosy's a problem on the inside. It's a deeper a sign of a deeper problem that's going on as we look at these things. And it did cause sores to come up on the skin, and they would spread out from what that I studied and what I read. They would spread out and go to the limbs and different things. And it was no uncommon thing, and it progressed stages as things got along, for those things to fall off, a nose, ears, different things. As we think about these things, it's no different to see that. And eventually it would consume their entire body and it would take their life. And such is the case with sin. It's no different today as we think about this. That's what I'm saying, boy. This is a picture like none other to show our life, to show how sin can affect us, to show the things that sin can do to an individual, far more than you ever set out expecting, far more than you would ever dream could happen, far more than any of those things. Sin will take you where you didn't think you were going to go. So we can see those things, but eventually it take their body. So listen to me, especially you young folks, especially the young ones out there. I thought about this because sometimes when we're younger, we're a little easier persuaded, maybe, than when we're old. We got old folks who aren't rooted and grounded enough in what they believe, that they can be swayed on those things as well. But listen to me, young folks. You have your friends or so-called friends at school say, oh, it's just a little this, or it's just a little bit of that. But listen to me, we've heard it said before, those little sins lead to far greater sin. And man, they will devastate our lives. They'll devastate our family. They'll devastate everything about us as we think on those things. They have devastating results to an individual. And did you know that in the case of sin, it's no different. It's far more than just a surface problem. It's far more than what we see. It goes deeper. We might peg an individual and say, man, that is one, that's one rough guy right there. I wouldn't mess with that individual. Guess what? It's worse what he's got going on inside than what we can even see. Amen. So let me say this, and don't take me the wrong way. There's certain places we know we shouldn't go. There are certain places that we don't have business being. But let me say this, it's not an environment issue as we would think on these things. Some people think that it's an environmental issue as we think on it, but that is not the case. Think about Adam. He was placed in a perfect environment, and he sinned against God. So we look on those things and we see these different things, and I'll say this, that environment might give us more opportunity, but it doesn't keep us from sinning as we would think on those things. It's not education. Some people want to tell you that you got to know all this different things before you can come and be saved. I'll tell you, I knew very little. I knew what it was that I've been taught in Sunday school up to that point. I can tell you the little stories of Noah in the ark and Moses in the bull ride, any of these things. But I came to know the Lord and saved at 7 years old. I didn't have a vast knowledge of this Bible. It's not education that people want to say. And it's also not education that is the problem. There's a deeper problem in the hearts of an individual. And I'll tell you, we say these things about environment and this and that and the other. And like I said at the beginning, if you're saved, you ain't got no business to be in a bar. That should go. Nobody needs to tell you that. I believe that we should know those things. But there's something going on in the heart of an individual. And sin is what it's called. Sin is what it's called. So we can see those things. So it's a hard issue, and it's not a matter of environment or education. Listen to me. We've got sinful blood coursing through our veins. Guess what? Our moms and dads loved us as much as they could, but that's where it came from. Guess what? They inherited it from their parents. It's been passed down. We have sinful blood. We each and every one of us were born that way. David said in Psalms 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin. Did my mother conceive me? Over in chapter 58 and verse 3, it says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born. Speaking lies is what it says. Sins are the fruit of sin, and sin is the root of the problem. That is the problem today. That is the problem in every lost individual's heart as we would think about these things. And I thought, that's it. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? As we read and see these things. So not only was Naaman's body here with leprosy, but we can tell where he was from. We know all these things. He was a pagan. Man, there was a deeper issue going on in the heart of this individual as we get on down here. But his soul needed some thing. And as I mentioned earlier about Israel, as I mentioned all these things, I said that they had to go to the priest. If they were found with leprosy and all these different things, we can see here by what we read today, by what we read here, still to some extent he still had some fellowship. Right. He still had some things. He was captain of the host. Word got from his wife through this little girl back to Naaman, and he got a letter to go see the king, to go see this prophet that was in Israel, all these different things, so we can see how it was here. But as we can look at that and we know those things, nonetheless, Naaman was still a prisoner of his own, of his own body. I thought from the day that this man found out that he had leprosy, from the day that it finally showed up on the skin, he had probably never hugged or kissed his wife. I don't know if he had any children, any grandchildren. They hadn't been able to come up and sit on his lap because, and we can read these things and we know the way that things were looked at that day, to touch a leper was to become a leper, is the way that this, and we see these things here. But let me say, Naaman was just as defiled, even though he had this communication and these things. Naaman was just as defiled as a leper in Israel would have been, who was sent and separated. This man was. So we can see those things. And I mean, Naaman was a prisoner in his own body. I mean, we don't realize or know, like I said, how long it was that he found those things out. But from that time on, he had that. And listen to me, this morning, you can sit in a room like this morning. We've got people on all sides, the center section almost filled up. Listen to me, Lost. I don't know where you're sitting in the building this morning. You can be surrounded by people and still be completely empty. You can be empty on the inside. We can see those things, and I'm going to tell you, there's only one answer as we would think about it, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. So let me quickly get down through here. But as we think about these things, leprosy will consume his body. And James 1 and 15 says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Listen to me. Today, death follows sin just as surely as night follows day. If you've been in this way any length of time, you've seen those things. We've experienced those things, and it's not a pleasant experience as we would think about these things, but it does. But we have all heard folks say that it won't happen to me. It won't happen to me, but yet we see it time and time again happening to those individuals. When it starts, you know, sin, the way we look at it, when it starts, it's sometimes not too hard to control those things. You got to hold on your sin, but it's not too long. It's not very long at all until the roles get reversed and the sin's got a hold of you, and you're in a shape where you can't even do anything about it. So we can see those things. But he was a doomed man. The Bible, as we would think about him being, says what? The wages of sin is death. Ezekiel said, the soul that sinneth shall die. We can see those things as we look at this here, and we see, and Naaman was also a desperate man. And like I said, thank the Lord that we have doctors. We have all these different things that can help us today. I thought about Naaman. No doubt we've all dealt with someone personally, someone close to us who's had some type of illness, some type of even terminal or chronic illness. Well, we're willing to go to any lengths. We're willing to go whatever the case may be. Cost doesn't really matter when it comes down to that. We're willing to go. And I thought, old Naaman, boy, I bet he had tried every salve, every ointment, every home remedy that had come along the pie. He had tried everything that was out there, but nothing Nothing worked. And you know why? Why I say that today? Why I say those things? Because a little slave girl out of the land of Israel comes and poses this thing. Boy, I wonder how those words must have rung in the ears of old Naaman's wife. And we can see by this, boy, he was willing to do anything. He was willing to do whatever it was. And listen to me, that's a place where you're going to need to get. You're going to need to get to that place willing. Whatever it takes, whatever it is, God, you can do these things. And I thought, and man, you wouldn't think as a 7-year-old boy, but I'll go back and tell you this real quick. But I thought as I stood there before I come to get saved, boy, I was trying to play. I won't say I was trying to play a game because I was serious. I wanted to be saved, but I wanted something. I remember thinking in my head, I don't remember specific individuals, but if this one would move or that one would move, then I know that it's meant for me to move. We still do that sometimes after we're saved, do we not? We don't. We still don't listen to exactly what's being said, so we can see those things. But I want us to look at this right here. I want us to see he was willing to do anything. He was willing to do that. And as we get down in here, we look at this, and briefly, let me do this just for sake of time as we think about this. And I didn't read this. You can go on home and read it later. But as we think about this now, this girl has come. She's brought something out there. They don't know if it will work. They don't know about this prophet that's in Israel. They don't know about these things. But she come and said these things. So the king of Syria writes this letter. And he sends it over, and Naaman goes, and I'll tell you, man, the king of Israel, he goes all to pieces here. He says, who in the world am I that I can heal a man of leprosy? But word gets down to Elisha, and he sends back, and he says, Lord, have you forgot there's a prophet in Israel? Have you forgot there's a God in Israel? Have you forgot there's one that can do the miraculous? There's one that can do all these things. Send him down to me. Send him down to my house. So long story short, I thought, man, we see this company. We see this company coming. He rounded up all these things. I thought, could you imagine that group showing up at the humble little abode of Elisha and all this great number out there? Guess what? Elisha doesn't even come to the door. He sends his servant out to go. So as he sends his servant out, he tells him, listen, if you want to be healed of your leprosy, here is what you need to do. Go down to the Jordan and dip 7 times. So we've seen the king of Israel go ballistic. And now old Naaman, he wants to turn himself. Boy, he thought, what in the world? I've come all the way down here. Again, paraphrasing, but in so many words, who does this Elisha think he is? Does he not know who I am? Does he not know any of these things? He thought that there was going to be, he would come out and there would be this big ceremony and making over him, some big showy thing, and then poof, he would be saved. And Elisha said, go. Go wash. That's what needs to take place. Go wash. And I'll tell you, we can see we can see that here. He said, go wash. Now, let me tell you a little bit on this, what it was that Elisha was doing. Elisha was stripping Naaman of Naaman. He had to get that out of there. And I'll tell you today, that's the place where you're going to have to get. You're going to have to set aside all those things, all the goodness. Don't get me wrong. Each and every one of us in this building, there's some human goodness in each and every one of us. But that's not what it takes. That's not going to get us there. That's going to stand right in the way of what God needs to do when we think that we're something, when we think those things. So he was stripping old Naaman. He said, Naaman, I don't want you to see yourself as Naaman sees you, because let's be honest, aren't most of us in here, aren't we prideful people? Aren't we proud? I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud of my last name because of my dad and all these
these things. But listen, Naaman, I got to do what you got to do away. When Naaman's old Elisha was saying, listen, Naaman, you don't impress me and you don't impress God. And if you're going to get cleansed, you're going to go this way. So he told him, he said, go down and wash. So Naaman gets all out of sorts and all worked up. And his servants, they come alongside him. They come down and say, man, let's talk a little sense into Naaman. If you will, we've come. They're probably thinking, man, we've come all this way. We've drugged this whole big company out here. If we were willing, if we were willing to come at the get-go, why are we not? So they go over and talk to old Naaman and say, listen, if he would have told you some big great thing, would you not have come? Yeah, if it would have been some great thing, then I would. And I feel like, man, that's what stands in front of so many from coming today. They think it's got to be so difficult or so hard. You got to do this. I got to be that. It's none of those things. He wants you to come to him, lay everything else aside. So as we see this, we see that he goes on down. And I'll quickly come to a close here. But we see that he finally, he listens to his servants. He listens to the word that they had. And he goes down and he dips seven times. Very specific instructions that were given. It wasn't just go down the number of times and all these things. And I'll tell you this. If you're going to be saved, you're going to have to listen to the word of God. You can't come, like it was said by Brother Jason, you can't come just any time, but you can come when God's dealing with your heart, when God is working on you. So it was very, very, very specific as we think on these things. And he told him, so he went down. And I just kind of, I don't know, maybe I'm weird, but as I'm reading these things, I like to sit back and think about them a little bit and maybe ponder each verse just a little bit and move on down. But I thought old Naaman is maybe he started walking in and go down. Boy, the second time, nothing had happened. The fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth time. Have you ever been, let me get sidetracked for just a minute and say, have you ever got to number six and quit when seven is where we need? Amen, I have. I have too, but he went down seven times, and as soon as he did, he was cleansed. As soon as he did, he was made whole. And then this is what, this is where I want to get right here just for a minute as we look at this verse 15 after we see all the, well, let me read 14. It says, then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He was clean. And he returned to the man of God, and he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Boy, that's how it is when we come to get saved. This man from Syria, this man had come not knowing anything on him. The God of Israel, boy, something had changed in his life. Something had changed, and he offers gifts and does these things, and they were turned away by Elisha. You can read on down. It ends a little different there, but they were turned away by Elisha. But this man said he needed two mules burdened of earth. He had an allegiance. There's something that changes in the heart of an individual when they've been cleansed by the Savior. Boy, I want to have that relationship with him. I want to talk with him. I need to know him. And I thought on those things. That's what this man. So we can see here the perfect picture of how we come to know the Lord, how we come to know him in our heart and in our life. And you can know him today. You can know him this morning if you would come and just come his way and turn your heart and your life over to him. You can be just like this man. And the same thing that happened to him will happen to you. You'll be cleansed of your sins. You'll be cleansed of those things, and you'll want You'll want a home church. You'll want a place to go that you've got an altar. And it doesn't have to be here. You better have one at home, too. But you'll want a place to go to just like that, man. He had experienced some things. So I'm going to turn over to Brother Jason.